Psalm 116, verses 1 through 6. And if you're able to, let's stand to give honor to the reading of God's Word. So we read Psalm 116, verses 1 through 6. This morning we'll read in responsive reading. I'll read the first verse and you the second verse. And down to verse 6. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. May God have the blessing of the reading of His Word. You may be seated. And let's pray, Lord, as we come to the preaching of Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would be with us during this time. Help us to be attentive and to listen. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be any distractions. And Lord, I pray that You just use me in a way that only You can. And Lord, it is not about me, and it is all about You. And so I pray that You would just be with us during this time. In Your name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about inclined. As it says in verse 2, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. The meaning of incline means, there's a lot of different meanings and such, but in this passage, the incline means to lean, tend, or become drawn toward an opinion or course of conduct. Something that you are drawn to. As it says here in this passage, I love the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I love God. I don't think there's anybody in here that would dare say, I don't love God. It's pretty nice that God loves us. And that we can reciprocate that love back to Him. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Now, I have good news for you today. I have 2 points. And that's it. Just 2. What does that mean? I don't know, but I just thought I'd let you know I only have 2 points. There's a lot to each point, so we may be here till 1 o'clock or so, so I hope you're hungry. If you're hungry, you brought something, but we'll get to it. Number one, I want God to incline His ear to my voice. I want God to incline His ear to my voice. As it says, I love the Lord because He heard me, my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Every single one of us wants God to pay attention to us. I want God to hear me. I don't want my prayers to be ineffective. I don't want to sit there and feel. Now, we're very emotional people, and so our feelings can sometimes determine our actions and all that, and our emotions can sometimes be high and low and different things. But there are times that we may feel like when we pray, God doesn't hear us. There may be times where we pray and it seems like our prayers just bounce off the ceiling. But God hears our prayers. He is inclined. I want God to incline His ear to my voice. And I know that He does. To have His ear tuned in, I was thinking of this when I was preparing for this. a while back ago, my wife and I, on Wednesday night, we have the Heritage Heroes. We take the kids up to the chapel, which is above the nurseries on the second floor here. And as we're up there, we're taking care of the kids, we're teaching them some Bible story and such. And occasionally, if we get loud babies in the nursery, we can hear them. And I remember I'm sitting there and we're up there with the kids and we've been up there for maybe 5 minutes or so. And I think it was Blake, that he was just a few months old or whatnot. He was down there. And we heard kids crying in the nursery, which is, I mean, it's not anything that's not abnormal or anything. We hear it from time to time. And all of a sudden, my wife is sitting there and she said, "I gotta go." I'm like, "What's going on?" "So that's Blake. I know it's him. I hear him crying." And there probably was maybe two or three different babies crying, but she tuned in and heard her baby. It's amazing. She sat there and said, "Okay, I gotta go." And I'm like, "Are you sure? Are you positive that that was him?" She went down. A few minutes later, came back. She brought him with her. And sure enough, that boy had been crying something, and needed his mama. She went down, got him, brought him back up. Her ear is tuned in. She could be sitting in building number two, and all of a sudden, one can be crying or one could be yelling or something. And next thing you know, she knows that something's wrong. What? Her ear is tuned into it. She's listening for it. It's almost like that tilt that's there, and it's like that radar goes off. All right, that's my kid. My kid's in trouble and needs their mama. And so what does she do? She responds. And it doesn't matter. She could sit there and she could pick it out. There could be multiple kids. There could be lots of noise or whatnot. But a mom's always going to hear their kid when they're crying. Just something about it. They have inclined their ear to their voice. It's tuned in. I want God to incline His ear to me. Psalm 119, verse 109 says, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." I want God to hear me, and I know that God's going to do His part. God has already fulfilled everything. He has given us the Bible that we can read. He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And so He's holding up His end. So if I'm feeling, or if something's going on where I'm praying to God and I feel like God's not answering, it's not because it's on Him. We can read passage after passage where God listens to us. "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened." We know all those passages. And we'll sit there and we'll claim them and say, "Okay, God, I'm praying and I'm seeking you and I'm looking for you and it just doesn't seem like anything is coming through." It sure would be nice for us to have like the red phone that we could pick it up and be directly connected and hear God's voice on the other end. That'd be nice. But it takes faith. So there's three things underneath this that is possible and why we don't feel like God has inclined His ear to us. Number one, it could be our lack of faith. The disciples, they get into the boat. Jesus gets into the boat. And He gives them a directive, an order. Go to the other side. He's told them what to do. He said, "All right, let's get in. Let's go. And Jesus goes to the back of the boat and falls asleep. And this great storm comes and it roars and it rages and the disciples, they panic. So we're not talking about people that have never been on the water before. They're, by trade, they're fishermen. They live on the water. They know this, what type of storm this is. And they're panicked. And they are afraid. So what do? They run and they find Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. And they wake him up and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That we perish. Now, it is easy for us to sit here and read the story, you know, a couple thousand years later and say, that doesn't make any sense on why they would think that they'd be in a boat and they're going to perish with Jesus Christ in the boat. He hasn't died on the cross yet. He hasn't fulfilled his plan. He hasn't done what he came to do. Do you really think that he would die by drowning? Of course not. But in the storm, sometimes we don't think very clearly. In the storm, we don't sit there and analyze and say, all right, let's think about this logically. We're pretty much reactionary. And how we've been living our life up to that point is going to base how we react. The things that we've been putting into our mind and the things that we've been consuming ourselves with, that's how it's going to come out. Somebody once said that Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's inside of them until you dip them in hot water. And then you know. When the storm comes, that's when we find out how our faith is. And they're sitting there and they're in the boat and they get over to him and they wake him up. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he wakes up and he rebukes the storm and the winds and the waves and everything is just calm. And he turns to him and he says, "O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith." He gave him instructions. Go to the other side. The instructions was there. The presence of the Lord was even there. He was in the boat with them. But yet, when the storm came, their faith wavered. It wavered. And it dropped. What type of storm are you going through right now? Well, I don't know. I don't know what everybody's faced with. We have a wide variety of people that are in our church. And I love that, the diversity of our church. We have everything from young infants to young children to newly married. We have young kids. We have parents that have been around for a while. We have parents that have been around for a long time, like Renee. We have people that have been saved for just a couple weeks, a couple months. But people that have been saved for a couple years. Have people that have been saved for decades. Upon decades. We have a lot of people that are in different places in their Christian life. And every single one of us are on our own path and we're going through this. As talked about, we're supposed to encourage each other, as I said this morning. But everybody's at different spots. And you can't compare yourself with where somebody else is in their Christian life because that's where they're at, but that's not where you're at. But everybody goes through different things. Your struggles are tailored to you. Your storm is your storm. And we can be there to go through it. But the truth is nobody knows exactly what you're going through except for you. There can be people that can relate to it. There can be people that can empathize with it. They can be, say, I have an understanding of something similar that you're going through. But truth be told, nobody knows exactly except for you and God. It's between the two of you. You could even have your spouse not know exactly what's going on in your life. Because they don't know your thoughts. They don't know your feelings. You can express it to the best of your ability, and sometimes maybe even hide it because of whatever it is. The only one that knows is you. But don't forget that God is not leaving us. He is there with us in the boat. And that we can keep our faith. It is possible, secondly underneath that, not only is it going to be our lack of faith, but sin in our life. But think of that verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's talking about that regard is when you're holding on to it, when you're facing it, when you're looking at it, and you don't want to give it up. This is my, as Brother Smith was talking about, he's talking about the chocolate stash, you know, and your pet sin that you take out and you get it for just a little bit. We know as Christians what we should and shouldn't do. It's not that hard to understand what we should and shouldn't do. It's laid out. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but so much more exhorting each other. We know that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves, to come to church. Sometimes we just don't want to. We know we're supposed to tithe. Maybe we don't want to. We know how we're supposed to treat other people. Sometimes it's like, oh, I really don't want to put the effort out today. We know how we're supposed to walk and talk. We know how our conversation's supposed to be as a Christian. We know the type of music we should listen to that is pleasing and honoring to God. But the question is will we take the step to get rid of that in our life that shouldn't be there? Or do we just hold on to it?